No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, the New School Way. It's 5 o'clock hour. We do this every Wednesday. Whiteboard Wednesday, Black Shirt Breakdown, what could possibly come down the pipe to look for as a Husker fan. And obviously, everybody's a coach. And everybody can be up sometimes. Well, hopefully, we're elated after the game. Don't be upset like my man Jake taking arrows. But it turned around for Jake, and hopefully it turns around for the Huskers this weekend out there in Pasadena. Old School brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt, / Old Cheney, 168th and Maple up there in the O. Also want to give a shout out to AMI, Advanced Medical Imaging as well. This right here is, I don't know what Nebraska, you know, really runs, you know, per se or anything like that, but this right here is essentially they're playing Penn State. So I like to look at, I'd like to prepare for opponents when they are playing their best. And this was a huge game for them, right? The first time Skipper is the head coach. Jerry Neuheisel is the OC. So this is what you're going to see here versus earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. So this is a cover four look, right? And then Penn State was very vanilla, right? You got a, you know, quarter here, right there, quarter here, a little bit of off, quarter here. And you see him playing a little bit of a press because he's on the backside of a 3-by-1, right? In 11 personnel. That's one, two, three receivers to the field or away from you.
Talk about playing press on the backside of
you, trips, you can there. Play press. You can play a little bit of inside man, depending on where they're at. They're on the right hash here.
What's the theory for that though?
Well, your backside, you're essentially one-on-one, right? You don't want to play outside man on the backside of 3-by-1 and you're giving up a quick slant.
Gotcha.
So you can play cover three with a little bit of cover two principles, and you can roll and just push him to the sideline. It makes this guy's job a lot easier so he can favor this side in cover four if you do a really good job here. So you can do two things at once, right? So they're in a cover four look. They are in Jerry Neuheisel, right? You know, boy wonder, whiz kid. Very good play caller. Obviously grew up in the film room with his dad. His dad was a really good play caller. I went against him a few times, and actually I ran into him in Indianapolis. I was on the same flight. You know, we were going to Big Ten media days a couple of years ago. He's still mad about losing to Nebraska, but you weren't close. But anyways, they are going to read this guy right here. This is a hard drop right here. He is reading 3-2, and actually he has four this way. He has four guys that are already predetermined. So this is what we used to call flood. That means the zone is flooded, right? That's three or more guys going to one side. So it's one, two, three, four guys are already on that side of football. Get that off of there. All right. So let me get that back. There we go. Flood. So what's going to happen is they're going to read off of him because he has essentially, he's reading off of two guys here. The number two guy and number three. He needs to play deep to short. He's a flat defender, but he's playing deep to short because there's more guys over there. And this guy here, right, with the flood is reading off of four and three, and this is his help. All right. Okay. So yep. to explain this to you, so if they're going four that way and he comes under, that's his guy, right? Then that expands this linebacker over here. You have to communicate during a play to these two. So they're what this defense is doing or what this coverage is doing. And actually, I'm going to go to see if I can get this over here, right? I know what I'm doing right here. Nope, I don't. Hold on, I got it. We're going to go to the very end here because I always like to show the cover four right here. And so what they're trying to do, I put it up here, is they're trying to stress these two right here.
Are those both linebackers or is the first both. Deep to short guy, is that a nickel?
Penn State plays different. They have a guy number 24 that kind of looks a little bit like a will or kind of hybrid nickel. They like to play nickel. They feel like their defensive line is pretty good. This guy in the middle is a middle linebacker. I've played both of these. This is high alert right here. And this guy back here has to control. He has to be the conductor. And you can switch guys right here, right? Like I'd put Farley out there. I like my chances here and put a run and hit guy. Maybe Farley here, Jamel. You could kind of, you know, divvy it up based on your skill set, right? So it's a cover four drop. They are reading this guy here. Whoops. They are reading him. Mm-hmm. And watch what they do to him. It's actually pretty slick, right? So they come at him with an RPO option, and they're going to read his shoulders. And what did we see that early? This is a staple. This lets you know Jerry Neuheisel is along that Lincoln Riley type of play calling. We saw this with USC against Notre Dame. They are reading this guy here. I have him highlighted, right? They're reading him, and they're reading his shoulders. So what the slot receiver is going to do, come up, fake like he's going to block, then he's going right up the seam. We used to call it a trail route. Mm-hmm. You're running him off here. You're trailing him right here, and you sit down. It's an explosive play.
Because that outside defensive back is supposed to go with him. Don't get beat deep.
Yeah, he's playing quarters. And so the great thing about it is if you play deep to short, you'll be there. But if they're reading this guy's shoulders, right? If he stays on him and comes up in the flat, they're throwing it here. If he stays deep, they're going to throw to – the flare route or the tight end going into the flat. So you have emergencies. You're putting them in a no-win situation, and they're testing your patience as a flat defender. And don't be like Jay Foreman, like against the Jets, where I took the flat in this same type of concept, and I gave up a 7-cut for explosive play. This young man did the same. Watch this right here. They're just reading his shoulder. So what they're trying to do is get a Nebraska defender playing overly aggressive. It's in take-a-shot area. Right. So take a shot necessarily doesn't mean they're going for a touchdown. They're going for explosive play. They're going to try to make, we have a really good defender in Sierra Wright. So we have a better chance than maybe this guy here. Cause sometimes when you watch the tape, he looks a little bit, you know, out of sorts some, cause you even see this right here, the way they're playing it. This linebacker needed to expand over here and talk to him. He's staying here reading the quarterback still and looking at the running back. They're looking at his shoulders. They know he's going to kind of bite up on this flare or on this flat route, and look at the result here, right there. Nico's already in. I think this is right here. I gotta get one of these out of here. He's already in. I messed this up. He's already in throwing it, and it ended up being an explosive play for 30 yards. And so that was how they scored their first touchdown, and they're coming out of party post Deshaun Foster win against Penn State.
So then that guy in the middle is still kind of looking for work, which is understandable with Nico Yamaleva's legs, right? Maybe he's supposed to stay there to some degree, like make sure the quarterback doesn't get anywhere. But then really what it does is if you're UCLA's offense too, that safety to the field that's lined up on the hash, he's got nothing to do. Nothing at all to do.
He doesn't have anything to do, but that's where the communication comes through. And depending on how you play it, since they already have a flood this way, right? That's why I say this guy backside is the most important, because now he comes into your hole dropper slash your QB spy, right? And then that's also set up by how you do your rush lanes. You got to be in a mush rush. That means you're not going to overextend yourself and give him a running lane, which Penn State had a trouble with doing later in the game, because obviously he was able to do whatever he wanted. So that's what you gotta expect in the
pass game,
excuse me. Now this is against Indiana. Indiana got after him pretty good, but I will tell you this. Indiana hung with him for the first quarter and a half. They gave up a touchdown, UCLA did, on the second play of the game. On a tip pass touchdown, Fisher got it right here. And this right here is a simple run play, right, where they're going to do what you call a half orbit motion. It'll go into a little bit of an offset eye. But this guy right here that motions back here, he might be 145, or he's probably about 175 pounds. He ain't doing nothing. So this is, they're trying to get something going here. I felt the Indiana game is the only, out of the four games that Jerry Neuheisel called, I felt like he got two. He came in with the mindset that they couldn't run. They're going to pass first. I felt like that he could have done the opposite, considering the way the game was going. And when they tried to establish the run game, Indiana was already in motion. So right here, this is the pre-snap right here, right? It's a kind of a little bit of a, you can say it's a cover two look. It's obviously right here, it's a nickel defense. And when you look at the personnel, right? So it's a 3-3-5 look. They've got a five-man front. One of these guys, so it's three defensive linemen, right there, two, three, and three actual linebackers, one, two, three, and this is their three-three-five, right? So this is, look, everybody worries about whether Nebraska's running a 3-3-5 or not. Indiana has the same personnel. This guy is kind of like a jack of all trades, right? And this guy is actually can play with his hand in the dirt, this jack position here, what we call jack. Or he can play off of 2 feet, which you see right here, right? So I'm just showing you that this is what Nebraska might play against them, and this is what you might get. Now you get the motion in the backfield by the pipsqueak, right? Doesn't change anything, right? Only thing it did was this guy started the communication when you started to watch on the film, as you see him moving down into the box, because his receiver that he's reading off is there too. So that bumps him over, as you see that right there, right? So when I talk about pre-snap communication, during the snap communication, which is how you're getting guys to move all within the same frequency, which leads to good defense. And so now you're going to see a simple, we call it plunge, right? 12-13 plunge. You can go out to 14, 15, 16. That's inside outside zone. This is a very simple play right here. This is a look-see, see if they can get some movement, get you to make a mistake, and see what they can get out of it, right? To get back on rhythm, they're backed up. It's an easy play to call against a base defense. Indiana's like base defense, very basic this game. They ran a lot of cover two and cover four. And you see it right here, right? They try to get you on that little pipsqueak going out there, right? Non-factor, right? You have a late alley filler by the safety, right? You had the outside backer right here, or the jack or whatever, your joker position. He took the RPO. Now everybody else is disciplined, right? Square pads, penetration, square pads, square pads, square pads, square pads, and free hitter off the crack block. So that's what Nebraska has to do, is like everybody's fitting up the same, doing their job. And I'm going to show you here what Indiana does really well. When I talk about square pads, you're able to reestablish the line of scrimmage. You don't give up the line of scrimmage because they really can't move you off the ball. Movement generally comes when they get you playing on an edge and you turn the shoulders, they can just ride you out of there. The old Denver Broncos type of running attack, which obviously worked out real well. And it was right here, run for no gain with a free hitter, discipline. He's playing outside leverage. So even if he blocks him, he's able to go right there. So essentially everybody's doing their job. And then obviously, the result is a team-based, obviously, tackle for loss and a negative play for UCLA. So what does it do when you do that? It, with Jerry Neuheisel, this is probably him right here. That play that he put up, he dialed up and thought the motion was going to, you know, get these guys to move, that's out of the playbook. I don't like that type of play call, because when you motion a little wide receiver into the backfield that normally isn't playing back there, you bring another run defender into the run game closer. I'd rather seen that wide receiver lined up to the wide side of the field. Then you could get a little bit of a more of a better or better count if you're trying to run the ball. This is right here. I want to show you right what Nebraska should do and could do based on what Indiana did, right? So that motion in the backfield by him, and he's kind of a little bit unique. He's number 21, but he plays slot. And they did this last year. Running backs are playing the slot. Brought in number 7. So now they don't have him accounted for in the run count, right? The lineman, because mm-hmm. they already counted it and they snapped the ball, right? So when he goes in, they don't reset the count. That's why I don't like that, right? What do you have here? Pitch guy. Look at this. Square pads right here. Square pads. You're leveraging what? Not the block, not the ball, right? And he's going to fall back right here because you have a, you know, an end going into the B gap. The A gap is taken care of. Look at his square pads and look at that pad level right here by 97. Let me get that back. I got to do a better job of that, right? Look at that square pads and pad level right here, right, by 97. Look at that right long arm extension by 99. And I'm not sure he's a single digit, but he's getting upfield. And this is a good job by 21. Knowing his guy is taking a chance, and you make him right. Because if you make him right, we right.
Because you look at that lineman who is not in good position at all. Lineman's essentially flailing, right? He can't get to that guy who penetrated that gap, right? He got around him. And so even though there is a white jersey there, it's an ineffective white jersey.
Yeah,
he's not going to do anything. He can't get back to you in that time. If you're the linebacker, you're reading that play correctly like that guy is, you're there to meet him. So then that tackle there has a choice to make. Which one do I go get?
Yeah.
You outnumber, you win the numbers, boom, run.
Yeah,
shot.
And that's what they've done a good job at is, you know, continue to, like, Indiana does a really good job here. This is a run game that they did really well against Penn State, so Indiana was ready for it. And the biggest thing how to solve it is being able to keep your pad square, play with good leverage and good hands, create a free runner, and excellent communication and discipline by 21 and 46 and 12, who's kind of their 3-3-5 guy. He does everything. He can blitz and do all that. So you can play this base defense against a run game if you do the things that are needed before the snap and during the snap, and you can survive against the run game. Not only survive, you can be actually really good against the run.
In this situation, do you want 12 kind of crashing down on the running back? You want him playing his lane, kind of slow playing it, and letting 21 and 46 do most of the work?
No, he's probably has the pitch, or he has the pitch or the quarterback.
The pipsqueak or the quarterback, yeah, if they run something
probably,
different.
In this game, I'm sure he's on number, what is he, number 9? Number 9's his
guy.
Oh,
sure. Okay.
Right? And I like that matchup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they like that matchup. And if it somehow went this way, same thing with 7. So, no, you got to be disciplined. You can't think, okay, I got to crash down. So, as soon as you crash down, and I'm sure Nico's reading him, then as soon as you crash down, he's out of there. So, you got to stay disciplined knowing that you got the quarterback or pitch. Really good job here coming up, stalemating him, free hitter, able to play off the penetration, and the result will be, look at that, just obliteration. Woo. There's nowhere for him to go, right? So this is where you got to think of guys on their feet, right? Hands are violent, knocking them back. Look at this guy tipping over. He's on the ground. He's flailing off a block. 96 or whatever he is, he's punching a hole in this guy. 97, actually, when you watch the film, and I'll get it on the YouTube, he comes back and makes the play. And he can't do anything.
Oh, he discards the guy and gets there?
Yeah, and he gets in. More hats to the ball is how they play defense. And the guy that initially, I think he's number 8, got the penetration. Look where he's at. Make the play.
In his grill.
Right. And it's all set up by the discipline here, the fallback here, doing your job, getting to the ball, beating the crack. So then also you have this cornerback out here. He's free. So there's nowhere for Indiana or for UCLA to go because Indiana did what they needed to do pre-snap and then obviously post-snap, obviously during the play. And then they just play with a better leverage in hand. Look at that. I mean, these are all violence and all that. So Nebraska does that coming out there to UCLA. They'll be able to stop this run game. And what that does is when you are able to win early in the series, it puts 10 times the pressure on him. Then it allows John Butler to do what he wants to do and lean on those defensive backs against UCLA's receivers. You can play man-to-man. You can play a little bit of catch coverage. You can play a little bit of combo coverage. And then you make him a lesser of a quarterback. Where he's made his hay over the last 4 weeks, unless in particular the three that they were really going, is somebody in the run game, in the RPO game, you're one of these guys, didn't have a good day at the office, and he was pulling it, and he was, and once he gets it going, now listen, he's not trying to shake and bake. He's trying to run you over. Okay, so like, don't sleep and think that he's a quarterback and he's gonna, and he sees a DB and he'll lower the shoulder on you. But what they are able to do is really kill people on the mesh point. And then they hadn't played a defense, you know, probably. I mean, Penn State's defense was pretty active, but not as disciplined, and obviously not playing at home.
Right.
Against this UCLA team.
The more I've thought about the comparison for Nico throughout the week, obviously not the same tier of prospect overall, but in terms of the way he runs and body style, I get Trevor Lawrence vibes. Sneaky, fast, long strides, will hit you. Maybe not his favorite thing, but is not necessarily going to be a slider, but just such big, long strides, like pretty darn athletic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not the same hair game as college Trevor Lawrence had either.
Oh,
but
he does. He got
he's got a little flow, but I'm saying Trevor's hair.
Yeah, Trevor's hair was Goldilocks. He's built like Trevor, big, you know, probably younger Trevor Lawrence. We'll lower the boom on you. Probably a little bit more effective runner. Trevor's a better passer. Mm-hmm. He also reminds me.
Trevor killed teams with his legs by the end, though.
But not as fast as this dude.
Certainly.
Yeah, he was good, but they weren't running Trevor 28 times.
No,
if they get the running game going, he's gonna keep running it. He could also.
Trevor ran it 60 times, 103 times, and 68 times.
Yeah, but I'm talking about 28 times in a game.
Yeah, no, that's too many.
Yeah, for Trevor. You know, he's number one pick. Also, his escapability when he escapes, especially to his right, is going to be interesting because even when he's pulled up, that means they're there, they're setting the edge, and they are holding contained. He's strong enough with his stiff arm to get out of that. Now, how do you counter that? A big, tall quarterback like that, you got to chop him down, dude. You got to hit him in his legs, not hurt him, right, or not injure him. You got to hit him in his shins. You got to run through him because if you think that, I mean, he's got
helmet to thigh, give him a little Charlie horse.
But his stiff arm, he's so long, and that's where that's where that power comes from, and you can't get to the ball. And then once he gets going, man, he's got some. He can house call it on you if he gets the, you know, the right amount of yardage that, you know, he's not going to go 90, especially against the speed and defense we got, but he can house a 40 on you. Is quick
40 or 50 if Stacey takes a bad angle or gets a stiff arm.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And he'll break some tackles and stuff like that. And so he's playing well. You always prepare for somebody's best. That's why you're never caught by surprise. And so, you know, it's going to be discipline and decision making. That's all they got to do, and just play the calls that they need to play. And they'll do just fine against UCLA.
One last thing on the Nebraska defense. You mentioned everything Indiana did right to stop that play. What's the biggest area that Nebraska needs to improve on to match what Indiana did there on that play?
I just think they need to execute the calls. Like, they're probably doing what they're supposed to do. And I don't really know. I'm just guesstimating. I think they're lining up right for the most part. They're probably going where they're supposed to do. Now let's go where we're supposed to and then make plays, right? So
no one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Like an example here, right? We can go to this guy here, right? He's doing his job, doing it well, and then he ends up on the play. That's probably it.
Well, and he's the guy that wasn't supposed to make the play. Everyone else did their job, so he could go make a play.
Just go play football. I think the best thing, to answer your question, they just need to go play. Just go play football. Don't overthink it. You know what to do. Communicate, let it go, and just let loose. Mm. Little BDE.
Big defense energy.
Yeah. Hey, man, I told my basketball team about that one time in a huddle. And I'll tell you, by the time I got home, 15 minutes later, I heard what you said in the huddle. You can say that they're college. They say a lot worse. So, Nebraska just needs to go play football, man. The fly around and hit. Do what you're supposed to do and then haul tail to the ball.
That simple.
There you go. Black Shirt Breakdown, Whiteboard Wednesday, Jay Foreman, Old School with my man Austin. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Second segment with Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. After Whiteboard Wednesday. You got me all jacked up here, man. Appreciate you guys tuning in.
We have an event to announce, Jay, in a week from today.
I know. I got to get on it. I should have done it at 5 o'clock.
I will let you do it because Minnesota's Finest deserves to shout out Minnesota's Finest.
I got to get it here. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Husker fans, don't miss the chance to meet Nebraska star running back Emmett Johnson, 7:30 p.m., at the Courtyard by Marriott in downtown Lincoln. Entry to the event is 100% free, but they will have official Emmett Johnson merch and officially licensed Nebraska merchandise available for purchase. It's a rare in-season meet and greet with Nebraska running back Emmett Johnson Wednesday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott in downtown Lincoln. November 12th, so that's a bye week.
Week from today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get to meet my man Emmett. He's a good dude, man. You know, the one thing about him I appreciate, he's been the same since he's gotten here. He's made the most of his opportunity. Probably didn't come when he wanted, but you don't worry about that. He's just, every day's a work day. He's representing himself, and he's exceeded expectations. And the bigger the moment, the better he's played. And so it's a great chance for people to go out there and meet him. 7:30. Courtyard by Marriott, downtown Lincoln. He does. I'll give him, credit. I'm sure, he's got a great team around him. He's got some pretty cool merch. He's really pushed it really hard. And he's a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. So go down there and support my man.
Just down the block from us.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go down there too, man.
It's after the show. Won't even have to cut out early on me. So I get it.
Yeah, I'll go check him out, man. Anytime you got, I feel like, for ticket listeners down there to meet Emmett, you appreciate him, number one. Number two, anytime a player is playing well and is doing it well, he does really well in school. He's great out there in the community. He's 100% real. He's not like not calculated and all that stuff. When he's out there trying to, I guess better himself or whatever you want to call it, and push his brand, I'm all for it because his best brand is on the field and we've seen it all season. So the brand outside of it is going to be even better. Mm-hmm. So 7:30 next Wednesday, Courtyard Marriott.
Cubs Grid is next Wednesday, 7:30 Courtyard Marriott. Like Jay just said, free to get in with merchandise available for purchase.
Yeah. So you get to get in, you'll meet Emmett and you'll be able to buy some of his merch. I'm sure I'm sure they got it all set up, take pictures and autographs, all that stuff. I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure, he'll be there to, do it all. But Cubster, it is 7:30 next Wednesday, a week from today now, after Nebraska beats UCLA, 7:30 to, I'm sure, 9 o'clock, 9:30. Courtyard Marriott downtown. Good setup in there. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, onward, upward. Austin, LSU.
Woo.
I didn't know their interim AD had like some Title IX issues.
Oh, no.
But now he is the AD.
He got elevated.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting. I don't know where the first domino falls. There's no, like, so you got three big jobs. And I'll really say you got two. Florida's a big job, but I think it's fool's gold, right? Okay. I think besides Spurrier and Urban Meyer and a couple years of Dan Mullen, and even Sharkanando was decent. Is Florida really a good job? All the stuff that goes on there? I mean, you
high potential job, but low floor job.
And they'll get you up out of there quick. So it's Penn State or LSU and Penn State. My question is, who makes the first move and who? I know they're saying Jeff Brohm to potentially Penn State, right? From Louisville.
Interesting.
I'm not
sure about that one. Jeff Brohm's a good coach. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he fit in with the alumni.
I'd rather shoot for Drinkwitz if I'm Penn State.
You think Stand on Business would be okay? Boy, hey. I could see it working. I could see. Well, first of all, it's any coach could work there. Like, as long as you're
invest enough.
Yeah.
You put in the work. Yeah. I'm not anti Brohm. Would he leave the alma mater that quickly? He hasn't been back that long.
Better
playoff access, I guess, in the Big Ten.
It's probably harder. He's in.
Well, it's harder to win, easier to get in.
Yeah. But he's building something pretty nice in Louisville.
He is. They've been good the last handful of years.
And are you really scared of Miami? They're going to be.
Right now.
Yeah, they're inconsistent. I guess you have to worry about SMU, but if you build a consistent winner, and Louisville does have some, sneaky good money. And it's a really nice town to be in. It is a great place to go to college. It'd be a little bit more risk. Now obviously he'll probably be able to leverage that to more pay. But between him and Brady, that's the only names I really heard.
Which job is more likely to take a flyer on a first-time head coach? I think it's LSU.
Poof. You really?
I wouldn't love it if I was them. I don't think experience is everything. You think about the guys that are successful right now, like the best coaches in the sport. You give Ryan Day a nod, national title winning guy, coordinator. Kirby Smart, coordinator for a long time.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning, coordinator for quite a while, among others. Steve Sarkisian, coordinator. Lane Kiffin, coordinator. I wouldn't be shocked to see LSU go the coordinator route and Penn State go with somebody who's been a head coach before.
I can see it. Also think LSU will go with a younger coach so they can manipulate him. Because obviously there's some deep-rooted politics going on with LSU and their decision-making.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you put on your resume? Like, so you're going to have to be able to – because there's guys – coming out of like New Orleans from the political office, making football decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to do that with a Nick Saban or somebody like that. No. So yeah, Penn State probably will go with the established coaches is who.
Let's pause. Can we pause this real quick? Captain Obvious says Brohm didn't do much at Purdue.
I don't agree with that. I felt like he did.
It's Purdue.
I think
he did anything at all.
I think he did a lot. I think he established a new identity for Purdue. I think he recruited well. He made him a consistent winner to Purdue standards.
7-6, 6-7 with the bowl loss, 4-8, 2-4 the COVID year, 9-4, 8-5 before he jumped to Louisville. Yeah. At Purdue.
Quick.
Yeah.
No, I think he did really good job at Purdue. And there was a couple times there I think he could have possibly threw his hat in at Louisville.
He held off the first time.
Yeah, he held off the first time, right? Yeah. So I think this is a time that he feels like he could be back there. But yeah, I think he's a good coach. I think he doesn't get enough credit for it, but we'll see. I mean, what if Kentucky comes open?
I've heard they're interested in some role from Tulane, and I think he was a player there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, see, the thing I look at with all these jobs, right, and it seemed like it was the fad thing to do. It's like in the NFL. It's like once one owner does it, like every other team's going to do it. You want to fire all these coaches? Sure. potentially to get out underneath all these contracts. The coaching pool is very, very shallow. And what do you think you're going to do? Like budget pay guys and think you're going to just hit the lottery? There's just not coaches out there. That's not to say to keep Brian Kelly after you hear some of the stories that he was at. And obviously when you start losing, it's not there, but it's also, you want to make this decision and not be so panicky and firing a guy. And I think, you know, I think it's a byproduct. As great as a story is Kirk Cignetti at Indiana, it has clouded the judgment of the decision makers when it becomes at everywhere else. And I'm not saying that everybody that I guess lost their jobs or whatever could have done better. That's everybody could have done better. Mm-hmm. But I think it's easy to look at, you know, Kirk Cignetti and is like, oh man, we just need to do exactly what he did. You just can't.
Easy to say, almost impossible.
Well, can't. You're not going to be able to. I mean, it's also part of the reason why you're at where you're at is because you're not looking at what you can do better versus what somebody else is doing at their rate. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason Kirk Cignetti was going to be able to bring, or was what he bring 13 guys to 14 guys from JMU,
something like that, yeah,
is because all the coaches that you guys hired overlooked all his players. And he had an eye for talent and a brand that he already had built. Mm-hmm. And it was very simple. If you go back to watch when he took the Elon job and he took the IUIP job or whatever it was, mm-hmm. it's the same thing.
Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
He said, man, he's like, we're going to be process oriented. Mm-hmm. We're going to be hard workers. We're going to be good on and off the field in the classroom. We're going to be accountable. We're gonna develop them. I mean, it's the same thing. It's very simple. But he believed in the guys that he had, mm-hmm. and he also knew going to Indiana wasn't a huge jump for them. It wasn't like he went and took over Ohio State, mm-hmm. where guys there were already. But you know, you got Jeremiah Smith and all those dudes. So you could bring in the guys, and he has an eye for talent. He knew he was smart enough to understand where JMU played. There wasn't a big difference in the skill positions from Power Four. Mm-hmm. So he knew those guys would come. So then he had Fisher, and he had the defensive tackle and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, Fisher was a little undersized, but he had developed him to where he could play in the Big Ten. And football has changed.
Yeah.
So then his leadership skills make him even better of a prospect. And those guys are coming in hungry. They're going from probably $2,000 a year in NIL money to maybe $100,000 each, and they all hit it, and then also they got an upgrade. He's just kind of got them locked and loaded in there.
The couple examples that come to mind for me from college basketball, and you look at Kurt Cignetti, I think about Pat Kelsey in Louisville last year. Kelsey's younger, right? Not a guy that's been overlooked necessarily. Obviously, Cignetti, more experienced, more veteran coach than Pat Kelsey. But even like Ben McCollum, guy that was at Northwest Missouri State just a couple years ago, winning D2 national championships left and right, it seems like, goes to Drake for a year, brings his guys with him from the D2 level, you know, wins Arch Madness, gets Drake to the dance, competes in a tournament game. I think they beat Missouri, forget off the top of my head. And then guess what? Parlayed that into the Iowa job, where Iowa's made the NCAA tournament. They're around the picture, made it about 50% of the time under Fran McCaffrey. Sure, had a couple really good years, right? We're a 2 seed. When Luca Garza was in school, I think the Keegan Murray years as well. So like Iowa's been good, but Iowa's not scaring anyone by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm really curious to see if Ben McCollum has some of that Kurt Cignetti too. Is the overlooked bring your guys with him?
Yeah, he brought that one kid with him that
Sturts.
Mm-hmm. His coming out party was pretty good.
Yeah.
They play a different style of basketball. Look, I think the biggest thing is that you got all these spots out there, not enough coaches, and also is going to be real dependent on what they do as far as, like, what's the measuring stick of all the, you know, who's, you know, is 8 wins your first year okay? Then you got to go to 10? And how do you compete with all these guys that know how to, like, operate down in the SEC? Mm-hmm. You got to think he's going into the Lions then, whoever gets that job.
Mm-hmm.
And because you got to think, Alabama set, Georgia set, Ole Miss set. If Missouri stays, he's set. I mean, what are you going to do then? You know, because you're coming in and you're starting over. Because somebody's going to have to know the lay of the land in LSU where to recruit, right? And the, you know, the 200, 300 mile radius. And you got to hit on those guys. Then you got to develop them. You got to keep them there and you got to win and you got to win big games.
Yeah.
Against already established programs that are going to come in and try to dip off your roster, present roster, mm-hmm. and some of your recruits. Mm-hmm. So whoever it is has to have a unique quality of instant team building, instant identity, you know, as far as who they are and culture. And then he's going to have an excellent staff. He better have some guys that have Louisiana ties or LSU ties on his staff.
Well, especially if it's a first-time head coach.
Especially if it's a first-time head coach, and especially if you don't have direct connection with LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they go about it, man. But, yeah, I mean, it's coming down to decision time. I mean, you got, what, 4 weeks left?
Yeah.
And signing day is
December 3rd through 3rd? 5th. Yeah, that's the window.
Mm-hmm. When you think about it, you know, you only have, if you don't know, I'm sure they might have their guy. You got what, 2 weeks? And then you might be, you know, if you don't have your guy in 2 weeks, you're got egg on your face. So we'll see what happens. We'll take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Norman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Quick segment, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, before we turn it over to Bill Mitchell in the Lighthouse. They do a really good job. Really like him. Bill's a good dude. Austin, I wanted to ask you, after a couple of exhibitions, first game, has it changed your thoughts on the Huskers basketball team one way or another?
I will say I am still surprised they beat BYU. I think that Rob Wright being out played a part in that, but Nebraska actually did a decent job on him in the first half. So that's why I'm less concerned about the slow starts against, say, Midland and West Georgia. Nebraska was relatively hot in the first half against BYU, but BYU really turned it up in the second half, even though they scored fewer points. Long-term outlook, no, I think it's about the same. I still think that the issues that have plagued Nebraska in years past, just looking at the roster, are still going to be the same. They're not that athletic.
Yeah.
Fred Hoiberg said post-game, you know, rink mass will still maybe struggle with some athletic fives. I mean, yeah. West Georgia's guy was all up in rink mass business. And that's where I would like to see Nebraska maybe add the counter of some low post playmaking for rink mass. It's not something they've done a lot of. I think that could be a little changeup they could throw at teams, especially with athletic five men. When shots fall, Nebraska's going to be good. I still have questions. Will they be able to rise to the moment and, you know, not allow many 10-0 runs when the shots aren't falling? Can they hold them to, you know, 6 or 7-0 runs instead of 10 to 12 point runs? Yeah. But we did see in the preseason, even this first game, when Nebraska gets going, it can really get going. Yeah. I do think there is a higher offensive ceiling, especially if good Jamarcus Lawrence shows up consistently. I still think it's probably a bubble team at the end of the day. I think the season comes down, like we were talking to five games. Oklahoma, Creighton, the two games down in Kansas City, and then, weird as it is, the Winthrop game in the non-con.
Yeah.
3-2 is the bare minimum. If Nebraska goes 4-1, they're probably in good position. Nebraska finds a way to go 5-0 in those games. Wow, yeah, you can really start dreaming. Yeah. But defend home court, you know, win enough of your notable non-con games. Nebraska's shown it has the ability to do it. Will they? I don't know. But, yeah, I like where Nebraska's at right now.
Yeah, I think they're... When you got Braden Frager coming off the bench and you just got, I think they have enough guys that can legitimately shoot that somebody would be hot.
So yeah.
It's just going to be interesting to see who can be the guy that get downhill or get out on the break. I think the defense is going to be defense. The athletic ability isn't going to really change. They can work at it. And I think Coach Nate does a really good job defensively and all that. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to do some things, but who can kind of be that junkyard dog?
Yeah, and Nebraska would throw Sam Hoiberg into that conversation. I think Frager's got some of that in him, kind of almost young puppy energy, right? Just so excited to get out there and go play hard and
he can do
throw
it.
My body all over the court.
He's a decently sized guy. He's long arms. He can finish. And so if he can develop into that along with a three-point shot, and then obviously help out on the boards, you know, it does give you some flexibility.
Rebounding was a little bit of an issue for Nebraska in the first half. They were out of position a few times, and West Georgia was a little bit more athletic than Nebraska. I will be curious to see. I doubt that Nebraska changes much, but they just lean so heavily into that no middle defense. They really influence teams to the baseline and show their help pretty early. Sometimes they trap it. Sometimes they play it soft. I don't know if they have the personnel to do it, the mentality to do it. I would almost like to see Nebraska influence and recover back in front, because when Nebraska gets beat, it's on those skip passes that are out of long rotations. They're out of position on rebounds then as well, because you've committed 2-1 and the numbers just don't add up in your favor on the backside. I get why they do it. That no middle is really in style in college basketball right now. And when Nebraska has athletes in active hands, it's worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah.
But when Nebraska is not going well, they're not communicating on defense and they look a step slow, it's because of that trap for the most part. They're not getting that guard back in front by design. But man, I'd like to see Nebraska be able to even out the numbers a little bit more defensively. Not sure if that's in the game plan or in the cards, but I think that it's something they could do.
Yeah, we shall see, man. You know, obviously it's a long season, but they're off to a good start. And we're off the airs. Turn it over to Bill Mitchell in the Lighthouse, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. Well, I'll let you tomorrow.